The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy. Romance. Drama. In the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Starring Mr. Charles Corbin in Cucamonga 26. And now here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
Our play is a little off the beaten path, telling the story of a great industry as seen through the eyes of a foreign-born veteran of the American Army who finds that he cannot return to his pre-war job. To play this role, we have a sensitive actor who himself is most proud of his recently acquired American citizenship. You saw him in This Love of Ours opposite Merrill Oberon, in Temptation, Enter Arsène Lupin, and in Berlin Express. It's an honor to welcome this week's guest star, Mr. Charles Corbin.
Thank you very much, Les.
I might identify Charles as the gentleman with the slight touch of gray at the temples and the romantic identifying cleft in the chin.
Please, Les, I'd much rather be remembered for my acting.
Well, I'm sure everyone will. And speaking of acting, reminds me that you're up, as we say in baseball, Charles. Let's get together for a little more chatter after the final curtain. Huh?
That will suit me fine, Les.
Fine, and thanks a lot. Now, here is Van Desitel.
Do you crave excitement? It's waiting in your own kitchen if you own a jar of Skippy peanut butter. Next time you long for excitement, retire to your pantry. Place your nose at a rakish angle over the rim of your Skippy jar. Breathe deeply of that heady Skippy fragrance, like this. Ah, there you are, thrilling to the maddening aroma, not of peanut butter, but of fresh roasted peanuts. Now, let your eyes travel over the smooth, creamy butter texture, so evident in new, improved Skippy. Fascinating. But not so fascinating as actually sampling it. One taste of gentle, digestible Skippy peanut butter, and what happens? The flavor of plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts makes your taste buds kick up their heels and yodel for more. And there you are again, where no floating oil, dryness, or rancidity can mar your pleasure. For Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful. That's why it's for certain sure. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Cucamonga 26, written by Bud Lesser and starring Mr. Charles Corbin. The curtain is up. And here is the play.
Mary, I think I call up some of the boys. Play poker, maybe. All right?
I'd rather you wouldn't, Joe. Oh.
I tell you what, we go to movies, yeah?
Not tonight, Joe. Our problems will be the same in New York as they are in New Jersey. And playing cards or going to a show won't make them any different. Now let's stay home and figure this thing out.
Okay, Mary. Only, I'm afraid there is no answer to problem. Joe Sandhog, all his life until war, he worked downstairs in excavating chamber. Boss always say Joe do good job.
And now the doctors say you can't work in compressed air chambers any longer, that you'll have to find other work.
That's only job Joe knows.
But you're an intelligent man and a hard worker. Certainly there are other jobs.
Mayor, you married uneducated man. Not many jobs he can fill. Common labor are not make enough to support wife like Mary.
Oh, Joe, for goodness sake, quit worrying about me all the time. You know you couldn't take a job as a laborer anyway. Even the army doctors told you you ought to find an easier job when you get back to civilian life.
Sandhog, only job no knows.
That record's getting a little worn, Joe. I've been looking through the papers. Maybe we can find you a trade to learn or a business to get into. Now, here's an electrical repair shop for sale. It would only require $2,000 to swing.
You're not interested in repairing electrical stuff.
But you always like to fool around with lamps and electrical irons and things.
Not repairing when I fool around. You're going to be inventor someday, maybe. But no repair shop.
How about an automobile shop to fix cars? Well, here's one that sounds pretty good. Ulcers force me to quit. Nets $1,000 a month.
That's not enough for ulcers.
Here's a rabbit farm.
Kill little rabbits? Not for Joe.
Well, how about... No, that's no good. Well, here's a pretty good deal. Barber shop, 3 chairs, excellent business and location. Joe! Joe, I found it! I was in the library and I saw a small magazine that I'd never seen before and I picked it up.
What's all this about?
A business opportunity. Now listen to this. Pick your money off trees.
Right away, Joe, no like it. Pick money off trees.
Well, that part of it's meant to be a joke. But it's almost true, Joe. This fellow in the ad selling orange groves in California.
California? Oh, that's a long way from New Jersey.
Well, it says here in the ad that if you have enough money to buy a small ranch, your worries are over. I've been doing a little figuring on the way home. Now, we could raise about $3,000 on your insurance. I still have the $500 Mr. Cripps gave me when I left the company to get married.
And mustering out pay? That's still in bank? But I don't know. Look, too good.
Joe, that's the only way of making money. Owning a business of your own. Or a farm. Orange growing farming.
But Joe, not a farmer. Sandhog all his life. That kind of work in his blood.
Well, maybe farming's in your blood, too. Your father was a farmer and your grandfather, too.
But that was in old country.
What does that matter? This is a new land and the earth is richer and the opportunity is greater. I've heard you say so yourself. Of course, it's up to you, Joe.
Okay. We send letter to man who puts ad in magazine and we'll find out all about it.
Joe, it's come. The letter from California.
What does it say?
I don't know. I haven't opened it. Here, you do it. I'm too excited.
You're very pretty when you're excited, Mary. Here.
What is saying?
Well, we were lucky we sent our letter airmail, Joe. He just has a couple of groves left. He says he can give us a wonderful 10-acre ranch for our money if we send the down payment by return mail.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but even with Mother's savings, we still have to have a pretty big mortgage.
Not so good.
No, I don't like the idea of a big mortgage either. Now, let's see. Now, listen to this. The ranch has a fine modern home, Spanish style. Uh-huh. Barns, artesian well, flower gardens, and groves. 8 acres contain fine orange, lemon, and grapefruit trees of mature age. And the other 2 acres can be used for additional citrus groves or for the growing of grapes.
Yes.
Also a profitable source of revenue to residents of Cucamonga.
Cucamonga? I thought that was only joke on radio programs.
No, Joe, it really is a town.
Oh.
That's where this ranch is located. Oh, it sounds wonderful, Joe.
Yeah, pretty good.
And it's always warm in California, too. The weather will be good for your health. Oh, say, you'll do it, Joe. Tell me I can send the check tonight and start making arrangements to leave right away.
Okay, Mary, we go. I like that name. Cucamonga. Well, this is Cucamonga, and this is the street. You see sign, Wagner's Realty?
No, not yet. I can't see a sign anywhere. Well, let me look at the letter again.
Yeah?
605. There's number 605 there, but... It's a second-hand store.
Oh, small town. Maybe Mr. Wagner have 2 businesses. Real estate and second-hand store. We'll see.
Hello? You want something? Does a Mr. Wagner own this store, please?
Wagner? No.
But this is the number on the...
You know a Mr. Wagner?
Oh, are you the folks sent the telegram from Kansas City a couple days ago?
Yes.
Is anything wrong? Doesn't Mr. Wagner have his office here?
Well, he stops by once in a while to pick up some mail he has addressed here. But he don't really have an office. Lesson he has one down in L.A.
L.A.?
Los Angeles. He was here the day your telegram come.
Oh, he got telegram then. He leave a message?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he told me to tell you how to get to the old Clooney place. He left some keys here for you someplace. I always lose keys. They was on a string.
Could those be the ones hanging on that nail or...
Yeah. My, you got sharp eyes, lady. Here they are. Well, good luck on the Clooney place.
So, this bunch of overgrown weeds is orange grove.
There's some oranges on the trees. And that one lemon tree looked pretty good to me.
I guess we stuck bad, Mary, huh?
I guess so. Afraid to look at the house. Spanish style, I'll bet. You don't feel so good, do you?
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Are you them?
Are we, who?
Yeah, I guess you are.
Yes, I guess we are.
They told me down to the recorder's office that they'd stuck somebody with this old place again.
It's not much of a place, is it, Mr.?
Bodkin's your name. I'm your neighbor. No, the old Clooney place is about all washed up. If you were smart, which you ain't, or you wouldn't have got stuck with this place, you'd turn right around and go back home.
Couldn't do that even if we wanted. My car couldn't make it back to Jersey, Mr. Bodkin.
Every nickel we have is tied up in this ranch. We just couldn't leave it. Isn't there something we could do to bring it back into shape?
We not know anything about citrus growing.
It gets me how folks will step into something like orange growing without knowing a thing about it. You wouldn't think of opening a dentist office without learning how to be a dentist, would you?
You're right, Mr. Bodkin. Say, you know plenty. Is there a way to make growth good again?
There might be, with plenty of fertilizer, cultivation, hard work, equipment, help, and luck.
With the house that to live in? I was afraid to look after this.
Oh, it ain't in such bad shape. It's pretty dirty. We'll go down to town and get a couple of women to help you clean it up in the morning.
Oh, we couldn't afford it. I mean, Joe and I can clean it ourselves.
Well, you see, my old lady died a year ago, and I haven't had anyone to mind my roadside stand. It's pretty good trade passing by here this time of year. Starting tomorrow, you're taking charge.
A stand where you sell oranges and lemons?
Yeah, and you'll make enough first day to pay the cleaning woman. We'll go 50-50 on what you take in.
Oh, well, that's too generous of you, 50-50.
Maybe you're right. Okay, I'll make up for my end by taking my dinner with you folks. I haven't had a good meal in a year now.
Well, I'll be selling oranges even if they are Joe's and mine.
What do you care whose you are? You'll have enough by the end of the week to buy groceries for you and Joe.
Oh, Mary, not work to feed me. I get job in L.A. tomorrow.
You keep out of this, young man. Mary's going to work in the stand like I said, and you're not going to Los Angeles. You're going to have plenty to do right here. You're borrowing my tractor and my cultivator tomorrow, and you're going to try to salvage something here, even if it is tough work.
Oh, you don't understand, Mr. Bodkin. You're not afraid of tough work. All my life I do tough work, many years underground and underwater. Many nights, back and arms and lungs ache. But always back at work next day. I'm not afraid of aches and pains, certainly not when I'm working on my ground and my trees.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Cucamonga 26, starring Mr. Charles Corbin. But now here comes Van Desitel, softly creeping up on a commercial for Skippy Peanut Butter.
Right now, I want you to imagine that you're an Eskimo paddling along in a kayak. You paddle past a jar of old-style peanut butter. A chilly pool of floating oil leers at you from the top of the jar. So, what do? Do you stir the oil back in? No. If you're any kind of an Eskimo at all, you save the oil and throw the peanut butter away. For Eskimos are notoriously fond of oil. But who wants to go to all the fuss of becoming an Eskimo just so floating oil on peanut butter will make you happy? Friends, it just isn't worth it. Not when you can enjoy new, improved Skippy peanut butter and live the carefree life. You see, oil and peanut meats are locked together for keeps in Skippy. So you never need fear that oil separation may set in when your back is turned. Skippy never needs stirring, never dries out. Instead, Skippy stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. That means you never have to throw out a partly used jar of Skippy. As a matter of fact, if you're sentimental, you can save the empty jar as a souvenir. So try Skippy soon, won't you? It's America's largest selling peanut butter.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Charles Corbin as Joe in Cucamonga 26.
Hello, Mary.
Well, you're late, Joe. Did you forget what time it was? Dinner's ready. Do you want to call Mr. Bodkin?
Sure. I'll run over to his place quick. Hey, where you get radio?
Mrs. Bodkin used to have it beside her bed when she was sick.
Oh, poor lady.
Mr. Bodkin said we need a radio for the frost warnings in a couple of months, and he didn't need two radios anyway. Did you get the cultivating finished today?
No, not quite. Had to rest a while, so went through things in barn.
Why, there's some things out there that we can use.
Oh, not so much. A tractor, too bad shape to fix. A disker, maybe can fix. Two sprays, pretty well clogged up. Bridle for horse, that isn't there. Washing machine, no good anymore. And the boy's wagon, pretty good shape. big enough to take our oranges to market.
And we're going to have oranges, Joe. Maybe not the 6,000 boxes they spoke about in the ad, but enough to make a go over here. You have to make good, Joe. That's all there is to it. You have to.
I don't intend to wait all night for my dinner. If you want to back out of our bargain, just say so. I haven't thrown away my can opener yet.
Oh, I told Joe to go over and get you. Oh,
we got busy talking. Sorry we forget you. What we do tonight after dinner? Study fertilizer again?
Seems to me you learned plenty about fertilizers. Wished I'd thought to use that leaf mold from the old oak grove. I would have saved a pile of dough.
Leaf mold working good on part of grove. Looking for more free fertilizers now. What we study tonight, then?
Well, tonight we go over the books, list the expenses, and figure out the possible returns.
What do you mean, possible returns? This part of Grove coming pretty good, eh, Mr. Butkin?
Don't look too bad.
Man from company say he buy these oranges from me.
Okay, it's better to sell part of them at a time anyway. That way you don't flood the market. What's he going to pay you?
90 cents a box, he say. I figure we got 250 bucks an acre, $225.
That 90 cents is a gross figure, you know. The packing house charges you for picking and hauling against the price they quoted you.
Men say that, but can't amount too much.
Well, they get about 13 cents a box for picking. That doesn't include the foreman. He gets 90 cents an hour.
Not seem too much for foreman.
And then they charge you for ladders and sacks and gloves and clippers.
Oh. How much that cost?
About 2 cents a box. And then there's the trucking.
Uh-huh. How much?
3 or 4 cents. And then there's the washing and the sorting and the packing and the freighting.
All paid, huh?
And the cost of the sales organization and for advertising.
Got to advertise. That's all, huh?
Yeah, sure, that does it. This year, you'll be lucky if you clear enough money for taxes and interest.
Cucamonga. Yeah, Joe, call dog away.
Oh, he won't hurt you. Come here, Cookie.
This dog's too big for a dog. Should be horse. Don't like having him here and cost too much money to feed.
But he was an orphan, Joe. No one to take care of him.
We can't afford to feed dog with big appetites.
Mr. Buckin took us in. He didn't ask us how big our appetites were.
You're right. But Joe not like dog. He's Mary's dog.
Oh, you can't fool me for 1 minute, Joe. Sometimes you growl almost as much as Mr. Botkin, but you're as soft as a grapefruit inside. I've caught you petting Cookie.
Well, he not so big and scared when he laying down on the floor.
What were you doing today? I saw you fooling around with the smudge pots when I came up from the stand at noon.
Mary, don't call Orchard Heat a smudge pots. We growers not like that name. Shows ignoramus.
Well... But really, Joe, I'm a little worried about those orchard heaters. They say that when the frost comes, you have to stay up all night lighting and adjusting them.
Oh, I'm not worried.
Well, I'm worried plenty. You couldn't take that sort of a schedule night after night. The doctor said you were to find a job that wasn't so hard physically. I'm afraid we made a bad choice.
Don't worry. Joe, not going to fuss with these orchard heaters. I have much better idea.
What do you mean? The frost is due in about 3 or 4 weeks. Is this the secret you've been talking about?
Yes. Joe, pretty smart fellow, inventor.
Inventor? What have you invented?
Electric heaters. All work on one switch. Switch connected to thermostat in grove. Frost comes, thermostat turns on by itself. Joe stay in bed and snooze. Hello, Mr. Botkin.
How's everything coming?
Fine. How everything coming with you?
Pretty good. Just come back from town. Lined up about 10 men to help me over the frost season. You won't need that many for your place.
No.
I was wondering. We usually have coffee and sandwiches for the men, and... I was wondering if Mary could fix things up for both of our crews. I'll buy the food and return for her work. You think she can feed that many men?
Sure. I help her.
You? You'll have plenty to do in the grove.
Not so. He not use oil heaters this year. See?
What? You've taken the orchard heaters out?
Joe put in new electric stoves.
Well, I hope they work. You're taking an awful chance pulling the old ones out now.
Don't take any chance. Getting wired for hookup of new ones tomorrow. Trust not you yet.
I hate to see you pull a dumb stunt like this, Joe. Well, I've been in this racket for almost 40 years, you know.
Maybe too long. Maybe moss grown over brain. No room for new ideas like natural fertilizer instead of buy. You find out my idea's good. Other growers use Joe's invention by next year, maybe paid big royalty. Joe Richman buy plenty ranches.
I hope you're right.
Come on, old man. Come home for dinner now.
Think I'll go over to my own place. Got a mess of eggs to eat up.
You're not mad with Joe, huh? Maybe I talk too rough to you?
I'm not mad. I'll see you after dinner. Maybe. Or tomorrow.
Hello, Mary. Hello, Cookie.
Well, where's Mr. Botkin? I thought he was out there talking to you.
He's not coming for dinner. Has date.
Well, that seems funny. Didn't say anything this afternoon.
We interrupt this evening's program of recorded music to broadcast a special frost warning. This has been made necessary by predictions of unexpected weather conditions in the citrus-growing country.
Mary, listen.
Following are the lowest temperature estimates of Southern California citrus areas. Pomona, 28. Whittier, 30. Azusa, 27. Redlands, 28. Riverside, 28. Cucamonga, 26.
Cucamonga, 26?
No orchard heaters.
We've got to go into town to get wire, get thermostat hooked up. Maybe we can save food.
We'll be wiped out completely.
I leave now. Back soon as I get wire. Maybe have to drive to L.A.
And now we resume our program of recorded music.
It does it, Cookie. We'll get these heaters back in place. Come on, Cookie. Come on. This one will make four.
Hey, Mary! Joe, where are you?
Over here, Mr. Botkin, near the barn.
What in the world are you doing?
Moving the old orchard heaters back.
Oh? Where's Joe?
He went to town. But I'm doing all right.
Oh, you'll hurt yourself.
No. I just slide this piece of wood under the edge of this little wagon here. And then Cookie pulls it forward. Hope this old bridle holds out. Come on, Cookie.
I'll help.
No, this is our job. Joe's mine. You have your own place to take care of.
Well, I should run down and get my workers.
Well, will you try to get a couple of men for us? We'll need them to help fill the heaters. We have enough oil for tonight.
Okay, I'll try and get you a couple of good men. Good luck.
Just a few more, Cookie. Maybe the man will get here soon.
Mary, I couldn't get the equipment. Every piece was closed. I was all over Los Angeles. What are you doing? Oh, Mary.
I'm all right.
I should say you are all right. I take over now.
We'll work together, Joe.
Yes, we work together, the three of us. Good boy, Cookie. Good boy.
Well, you come through all right, boy. The heaters can take care of themselves for a little while now. What do you say to a little coffee, huh?
I say fine. And I apologize for calling you old man this evening.
Well, I am old man, Joe. And you could be right about that invention of yours. But why don't you try it on one small section? In the meantime, make enough money for your experiments on the rest of your ranch.
You think rest of ranch make money?
It looks pretty good to me. And I've been in this racket
over 40 years.
And I like it fine, Joe. I think you'll make out all right. With enough fertilizing and cultivation and hard work.
And chemical spray and oil.
And a wife like Mary.
Don't forget Cookie.
A wife like Mary. And a dog like Cookie. You know, it takes a lot of things to make an orange grow. Just like it takes a lot of things to make a man grow. I think maybe here, close to the earth, Joe grow better than in the city. And I think now everything going to be okay in Cucamonga.
And the curtain falls on Act 2, the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Cucamonga 26, starring Mr. Charles Corvin, who returns in just a moment.
If you're a person who thinks that peanut butter is strictly for the youngsters, if you've found that peanut butter wants to play rough with your digestion, then I'm quite sure you haven't as yet tried new, improved Skippy peanut butter. Skippy, made by a new, exclusive process, never picks a fight with your digestion. Doctors often recommend it for convalescents and the very fussiest eaters. That's why grown-ups, as well as you youngsters, enjoy Skippy and have helped make it America's largest-selling peanut butter. Enjoy Skippy, either creamy style or chunk style, soon. Now, here is our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Charles Corvin. Charles, for my money, you really lived that role of Joe. You know, I can always tell that an actor has been thinking and living acting all his life.
I started out to be a cameraman.
That's what I said. How'd you turn to acting?
Well, I had covered most of Europe as a photographer for a news syndicate and as a newsreel cameraman, but I hadn't ever seen America.
So you came here and were greeted at the boat by 30 or 40 talent scouts with outstretched hands and contracts.
No, not exactly. But I had always been interested in the stage, so while I learned the living as a cameraman, I spent my summers at the Barter Theater in Abingdon, Virginia.
And Hollywood came to Virginia for you?
No. There were several seasons of Broadway after that. Universal Pictures finally saw me in Dark Eyes.
Uh-huh. And then you came to Hollywood and started collecting picture credits, albums of classical music, and pigs.
Ah, you've been snooping.
Yes, and incidentally, I know about your pigs.
Oh.
China pigs, wooden ones, calico pigs, paper pigs, pigs of every size, color, and description. But I didn't learn what the collection was all about.
Well, you see, a friend gave me a little china pig one day for good luck, but the superstition attached to it said that it had to be given away within a year. I gave it to Helena, a girl I was very fond of.
And then you married Helena.
Yes, and the pig came back into my custody. Helena started giving me other pigs, and now she gives me one for each new role I play on the stage, in pictures, or the radio. Friends have given me a lot of new ones, too.
Well, I hope that we can be listed among your friends, because we have a pig for your collection.
Oh! But this is a cookie!
In the shape of a pig.
Oh, and we hope
that you'll keep it. It's made out of a recipe that contains Skippy peanut butter.
I absolutely refuse to keep it. I'll eat it right after the show because I love Skippy. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And I'd like to thank the rest of the cast for their fine performances, particularly Lorraine Tuttle for her great work as Mary.
Thank you, Charles Corvin.
In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. Charles Corvin as Joe, Lorraine Tuttle as Mary, Fred Howard as Mr. Botkin, Isabel Randolph as the clerk, and Jim Hadlock as the announcer. Cucamonga 26 was written by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
We enjoyed having you in our theater audience this week, and we hope you'll enjoy our shows that we've planned for the weeks to come. We'll have as our guest stars Barry Sullivan, Thomas Mitchell, George Brent, Gail Patrick, and other fine stars in radio plays especially selected for them and for you.
Charles Corvin may be seen in the RKO production Berlin Express. Van Desitel speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.